Welcome, everybody, to episode 333 of RP Grinders on a Friday the 13th, no less. I'm your host,
Friday the 13th.
I'm your host.
Okay,
I'm so going to hang up on you guys.
Yeah, actually, you really should have done. I'm surprised you didn't change the theme music to the Friday the 13th.
I'm going to hang up.
I'd be good as an evil villain because I got the laugh down.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But you have no plans.
Yeah,
no plans, but I got the laugh.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm Frank Branches, alongside my co-hosts that are super chatty today.
No, he's not. I'm Frank Branches. He's been lying to you all this time.
Well, I'm the good-looking
one. Knew it!
Alongside the people that you heard, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself, the Mug. What's up, guys?
Not a lot. It's Friday. Oh.
Weiland says Jason is confirmed for Mortal Kombat X or 10 or whatever. 10. Whatever.
Is it Jason X?
That's cool. That would be cool if they had an alternate costume for him. That would be really cool. Yeah. All right, Jens.
Well, actually, there's an obvious choice for an alternate costume for him.
What, the bag over his head?
Yeah, the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a bag over his head in one of them?
Yeah, in part two.
And the second one before, you know, the first one that actually was Jason doing the killing, but he didn't get the mask until number three.
Yeah, that's right.
He wasn't even in the first one, so.
Yeah,
well, he was.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't the one doing the killing.
Yes.
All right, Eric, let's get started with news. We got quite a bit of news, so let's go ahead and get that going.
From Silicon Era, we have Etrianasi Untold 2, The Fafnir Knight, coming to the West this summer.
That sounds a little dirty. Oh, Fafnir, not Fafnir, okay.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a remake of the second DS game, and there's a story to it, just like the first Untold, and blah, blah, blah. If you want the story, go play the game. But, of course, you can choose classic mode or the story mode. That has updated graphics, new dungeon layouts, and system changes.
Well, that's cool. The Etrian Odyssey games are kind of unforgiving, but they're fun. I like
them. By new dungeon layouts, they mean that the original game's maps were small, so they made them bigger.
Yeah. Weiland says if they don't do the NES Jason as a skin, they fail. I agree.
I don't care with what the purple, like the mask or purple outfit, and purple jumpsuit, blue mask.
Yeah. There's a ROM hack that actually fixed his colors.
That's cool. Yeah. All right, so Etrian Odyssey, Fafnir Knight.
There's apparently a new difficulty mode called Picnic.
I like that. That's even better than casual.
Yeah.
Actually, that's even better than narrative, which some of the BioWare games do.
I like that. That's cool.
And it'll be sold for $50, which is a lot for an entry in an Odyssey game. Yeah. There's probably going to be extra crap in it, though. So that's
why. They should have a difficulty mode called Cakewalk.
All right.
It's called the UN button where you just immediately go to the credits. And the
yeah, exactly. Hey, there you go. Dungeonbuster's in chat. What's up, Dungeon? Break. Let's go on to some actually kind of cool news.
No, this is not cool.
I think
cool.
It is. I think it's cool.
No. Coming to us live from PlayStation Lifestyle, take a look at this fan-made Final Fantasy VII sequel for the PS1. Oh, really, they made it for the fucking PS1?
I know, that's the one thing, man.
that's the actually PS1 the only was... part of this I think is cool.
I'm pretty sure Square will shut it down.
Most likely.
Yes, yeah, so I'm pretty sure that'll happen too.
It's only the most overrated game of all time.
I think I agree with you.
It's definitely one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad game, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not a good game.
No, it's not. I think I would agree.
If you go back and look at the game, it's a matchup. A matchup of several different games. It's like a collage.
Yeah. So basically,
your character sprites are completely different depending on where you are in the game.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, so go ahead and read this.
While Final Fantasy VII might be the most famous entry in the history of the franchise, for some reason, they say that, not me, but I agree with them, Square Enix has yet to release a remaster or even a sequel. It's probably because of the popularity of the PlayStation 1.
Well, that, and it was like one of the first real 3D RPGs that was very detailed, and, you know, I give it a lot of credit.
Well, but, that's the thing. It's like that I've always said that, you know, Final Fantasy VII was revolutionary. I mean, that's simply a statement of fact.
Yeah.
It's kind of like saying Halo was revolutionary because it was.
Right.
You know, you don't necessarily have to like it as a game, but you can't deny the impact that it
right.
had.
Right. No, you're
you
right.
You have to like it as a game. You don't. You're
no,
soulless.
You don't. I must
I
be
still
soulless.
Like 7. It's just,
I like it. Like, okay.
No, I wasn't talking about 7. I'm talking about Halo.
Yeah. Well,
I liked 7 better than I liked 6.
Fuck Halo. Anyways. Continue. Yeah, so
this is just what indie developer Rodensoft planned to do with its fan-made Final Fantasy VII Time Guardian for the PS1.
Before Rodensoft, they got a CND letter.
Before they get that cease and desist from Squinix, which is probably in the mail. Rodensoft, which is a studio based in Aomori, Japan.
So it's a Japanese ROM hack.
Mm-hmm.
Started the sequel. What?
Not a ROM. The CD game.
Started the sequel as a personal mod to the original game. Unfortunately, development on it has stopped, as the studio explains. It's a full-time job, and scripting tools, while great, are quite restrictive compared to real coding. Presently, Rodensoft is now working on its own original RPG using the Unreal Engine. Here are some of the planned changes from Final Fantasy VII to Time Guardian.
So it's not a hack.
Okay, so if they're not actually – if they're doing – they're saying their own original RPG using the – so it's like if they're not doing the Final Fantasy VII sequel and they've stopped working on it, why is this fucking news?
I agree with you, but
– Because they might –
I don't understand, yeah.
Dungeon Buster says – Final Fantasy VII was also big because everyone freaked out over it appearing on something other than a Nintendo console.
Not just that, they also put a huge friggin' ad campaign.
I think they're talking about it because, number one, it was a slow news week, and two, number two, they probably just used it as a prototype for their actual game.
Yeah, Dungeon also says Squaresoft even poked fun at the cart format in their ads for the game. It was nuts. I remember that. I actually remember that.
It kind of reminds me, the whole thing with like Metal Gear Solid 4 being on the PlayStation 3, specifically because of the Blu-ray format. I remember someone did this mock-up of like an Xbox 360 version of Metal Gear Solid 4,
mm-hmm.
Where it came on like 10 discs.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's kind of clever, but
I remember that.
No, it was like 9 discs, and the other one was an install disc.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, Mug, let's go with the next story, bud.
Oh, come on. I want to do the one after this.
Okay, Eric, next story, please. Oh, I'll do the next story. Never mind. this comes to us from siliconera.com. Lost Dimension being localized into English, care of Atlas. The End, an extraterrestrial being bent on destroying the world. Jeez, we've never heard that before. Is coming to the West thanks to Atlas. They picked up Lost Dimension as strategy.
Yeah, that's like the very story in Persona 3.
Right.
I think it's amazing coincidence that an alien life form comes to destroy this planet, and it's named The End.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't even know English, I'd imagine, but it's called The End.
Right. This is The End, my friends.
It's the same kind of explanation like they did in Man of Steel. Like, well, in my culture, this isn't, you know, this means like so and so. Well, in our culture, that's an S, which I thought was pretty clever.
It's a strategy RPG where not all of your allies are friends. Sho is a member of S.H.I.E.L.D., and deep within the group is a traitor, secretly supporting the enemy. Players will have to watch party members closely to see if there's anything suspicious to root out the mole.
That name sounds like it's missing.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
I know. I was just thinking, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What's unique about Lost Dimension is the traitors will be randomly determined, so each playthrough will be different. Fortunately, Sho has psychic powers that can help you hone in on a betrayer. Here's a look at how you can identify a traitor. When you reach the end, capitalized, any traitors will switch sides and fight against you. Until then, you must work together with your teammates to set up combination attacks. So it's slated for release this summer on PS3. For $39.99. So that's, I mean,
it's kind of nice how they made it randomized. So they made a scenario for in every case that they could possibly betray you.
The screen looks
cool. I like that. That sounds pretty cool to me.
No, it does. It sounds good. You know what? This type of game that Atlus really picks up on, this is the difference between Atlus and somebody like Square. They take chances, you know, and that's cool. All right.
Can you, like, romance the characters, too? Like, you romance her, and then you find out she's betraying you?
That would be
God
better.
Damn it.
Damn it. Copyright. I copyrighted it, so there you go. All right, Mug.
All right. From Silicon Era, Square Enix reveals Holy Dungeon, a treasure-digging RPG with story from Takashi Tokita. And the whole reason I wanted to do this was so that I could do this joke. Holy Dungeon! You've been down too long in the dungeon deep! Something's coming for me!
I'm going to hang up on you so fast.
That was totally not Holy Diver.
That was the worst deal impression I have ever heard.
I never said I could do an impression. I just wanted to do the song.
Well, it's the worst rendition of that song.
Don't doubt it. Anyway, Square Enix.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Square Enix could. Yeah, you should hear my walking impression. It's even worse. And Square Enix have never
met. No! Come on.
You're worse than any Mega Shark movie.
Okay. Square Enix have several Final Fantasy mobile titles available, and also in the works, they also have some original titles, such as the recently announced Holy Dungeon!
You're exiled.
Look at the game. Along with some details on how it's played. Holy Dungeon is basically an action puzzle game with RPG elements.
Exiled, motherfucker. Dungeon Buster says, "Holy dungeons, Batman." Yeah,
where you form parties and take on dungeons. Sounds
original.
From what
I can see in the pictures, it's a match 3 game.
Yeah,
it looks like it. The story is written by
Dungeon Buster. Says this RPG needs more cowbell. This RPG needs more cowbell.
Oh, get out of here!
Okay.
Exiled.
The story is written by Final Fantasy IV designer Takashi.
I hung up on him. I couldn't take it anymore. I just couldn't take it.
he was reading the story.
Yeah, I know. I know he was. Hey, when he gets back, just say, I don't know what the hell happened there. Right? Hey, you guys back? Hey, you back, Mug?
I'm back.
Oh, I don't know what happened there, man. That was weird.
I don't know what happened. It could have something to do with the Holy Dungeon.
You just kind of broke up, and then all of a sudden you weren't there. Like right now, I just hung up on him.
Actually, I'm looking at this now, and it sounds like it's kind of like Dig Dug, I guess.
Yeah, Dig Dug. Yay, Dig Dug. All right, let's get that Mug back here. Mug, dude, you just keep breaking up and hanging up, dude. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. Maybe we should do some experimenting and see if there's a pattern. we need more data to determine if there's a Holy Dungeon.
Aye. I hung up on him again.
Let's move on before you have a chance to make more jokes about that.
Oh, Jesus. Let me get him back on. And Eric, you're going to go with the next one.
Okay, the next one is Mercenaries Saga 2 is like Luminous Arc or Final Fantasy Tactics on a budget.
Yeah. So okay, I'm done. Okay, I'm going to actually finish the story now.
Oh, I thought you were finished.
I wasn't. You actually cut me off in the middle of reading a line.
Really? I didn't cut you off, man. What? Ask Eric and break. Just ask him.
Just ask anyway, him. Also, Takashi Tokita, also known for being one of the directors of Chrono Trigger, and currently working on Final Fantasy Legends, The Space-Time Crystal. The artwork is done by Soul Taro. There are some screenshots in development screenshots of the game. While it may look pretty simple, it has some strategic elements that will require you to make parties that consist of characters with all kinds of abilities. So maybe it's a little more than just a straight match 3. Mm-hmm. Your goal is to keep digging down the depths of the dungeon to find unknown treasures. The controls are pretty simple, since you can do everything by simple touches in this hori, meaning to dig in Japanese. Why do they feel the need to elaborate on that? I don't know. Dungeon game. For those of you interested in the game, you can submit your email on the official website, which is a URL that's far too complex to bother reading out loud, to get Female Warriors Valkyrie, a balanced but powerful character. She'll be given out to those who register early. They also have a Twitter campaign going on where they'll give more rewards for every 1,000 retweets the game gets on the official Twitter account.
I thought
Twitter
the whole
account.
Point of a Valkyrie was that they were female. Why, adding female into it is kind of redundant.
Yeah. Well, not that, but they said, you know, like they did a plural you know, when it's your, you know, so I'm playing as the Valkyrie, as, you know, I'm playing as the woman Valkyrie. Well,
this is the modern age. Maybe there are transgendered Valkyries.
Could be.
They're trying to clarify for you.
I don't know why, but Dungeon Buster can't stop laughing in chat. I have no idea why.
Anyways, back to this Mercenary Saga 2 was reading.
Go for it.
Anyways, this is from SiliconArrow.com. It says, we occasionally see smartphone titles get a port to handheld systems, but for 500 yen on the Nintendo eShop, Mercenary Saga 2 looks good when it comes to your bang for your buck with its familiar strategy RPG elements. And it says, before actions, there are conversations occurring and event parts before the battle.
Finishing up this story about Mercenary Saga 2. So basically, it's just a ported mobile game.
It's not a ported mobile game. It's an actual 3DS game.
Oh, well, they brought it to the 3DS. That's cool. Awesome. It does look like a poor man's tactics, though. For sure.
The characters look very Final Fantasy Tactics.
It costs 500 yen. It can't be all that.
Dungeon Buster. Heavy, wait.
How high of a budget game.
Dungeon Buster, you're very close to getting exiled, man. He said he can't.
Whatever could he be saying? That
oh, wait. It is a port of a mobile title.
I told you. Yeah. See? Holy Dungeon. He's waiting for another Holy Dungeon. I'll let you do it, Mug. I'm not going to hang up on you. Go ahead.
Holy Dungeon!
Oh, Jesus.
The first paragraph made it sound like it was not, though.
Yeah, see? I pay attention, Eric. All right, let's move on. Break. Next story, please. Break, are you there?
I think you broke.
All right, Mug, can you please read the next?
PlayStation Mobile closing, which is not... I'm not sure if that's news in the sense that nobody knew about it or that nobody cares.
Yeah.
But PlayStation Mobile was a bridge between Sony's Android devices and the PlayStation Vita library. Not surprising that Sony is abandoning anything to do with the Vita. The service started on... I'm sorry. I like the Vita. I wanted to love it, but they won't let
me. They did that with the PSP, too.
No, the PSP got a lot of... You know, it had good support for a good long while.
Yeah.
But anyway...
Sony gave this up almost as soon as they gave birth to it.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, the service started in October 2012 and allowed indie developers create games that worked on both platforms, but unfortunately PlayStation Mobile games were shoved into a little corner, making those titles hard to find. Yeah, I never
like
knew
XBLIG.
Yeah, I actually knew what the Xbox Live indie games, at least I could find those. I have no I don't even know where to look for PlayStation Mobile.
Yeah,
anyway,
the mobile section.
Anyway, the Sony Sony Computer Entertainment Japan announced plans to shutter PlayStation Mobile. This will come in two ways, starting with the PlayStation Mobile store closing on July 15th. Users will still be able to re-download games on their devices until September 10th. Welcome to the digital future. Mm-hmm. Once a device has been authenticated, you may re-download PlayStation Mobile games to that system.
This was a problem I always felt about digital downloads. Like you're at the mercy of Sony and Microsoft when it comes to these type of things. They've been very, very gracious so far, but I truly believe there's going to be a time when, you know what, they're going to be like, look, these are cost-saving measures. Whatever game you had for the previous system, you better get it because you won't be able to re-download it. You know?
We'll charge you again to pay for it on the next console.
Yep.
I'm afraid of that happening with all my Xbox arcade games because I've got a bunch of arcade games and I'm fearing the future.
I know.
I only know of one game, and at least that one game that I have that I got specifically because I was like, okay, I wanted it, but I also knew that it was going to be removed and fully removed from the PSN. Mm-hmm. Was one of the import titles. The PS1 was the Magical Drop R. Mm-hmm. And you can't even re-download it now.
Yeah. No, that type of shit's sad, man.
I mean, it's like the thing is...
I think that's the reason that Square doesn't put the Kingdom Hearts games on the digital stores, because Disney might get upset at some point.
That's very possible. It's kind of a shame, just because, like, I don't know. I wish there were more of the PSP's library available on the PSN. There are still some games that, you know... would be nice to be able to play with using like the Vita's two joysticks, like Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops, or Parasite, the Third Birthday.
Yeah, like, you know what else? Go ahead.
Would
Mark.
Make better use of the.
I think you can play those on the Vita, and I think they're still on the store.
Portable Ops has never been given a digital release that I know of.
Well, I know Third Birthday is.
Here's something that's getting a different kind
of. It's weird that Crisis Core hasn't been.
That one is the other one that still boggles my mind.
Yeah. All right, here's something that's coming to a different format, guys. This comes to us from Destructoid. Mother Original Arranged Soundtrack is being printed on vinyl. So this is
there's a contradiction there. The original soundtrack and the arranged soundtrack are two different things.
I think it's talking about the original Mother game.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, a game on vinyl?
Soundtrack on vinyl.
Mother.
I play my games on, it's like I'm even older school than analog tape. All my games are, all my binary code is scratched onto vinyl.
Betamax.
Hey, what the hell? Here. This thing won't fit in my Super Nintendo.
Well, to be fair, the original E soundtrack was released on vinyl, but the game was released in 87, so it was entirely possible.
All right. Mother, a.k.a. Earthbound Zero had a very peculiar official soundtrack, which until now has never been released outside of Japan. Rather than taking music straight from the game, composers Hirokazu Hip Tanaka from Metroid and Kid Icarus and Kaichi Suzuki, Tokyo Kichi. Godfathers, went with a fully orchestrated soundtrack, which even contained some English vocals from lesser-known European musicians Catherine Warwick, Louis Philippe, Jeb Million, and the St. Paul's Cathedral Choir. It's a very bizarre album, but there's something special about its weirdness. So there's a Kickstarter campaign, yada, yada, yada. So if you have a vinyl player, which I don't know anybody who does anymore.
I don't think anybody even has the parts or knowledge to make a record.
They have.
I actually know people that have record players, but they're all.
Are you kidding? I was like, actually, vinyl is there's been a big resurgence in vinyl. Those vinyl,
these is like DJ shit, but not
vinyl. Listen,
there's actually no. I mean, like there's been a resurgence of studio release, studio album vinyl too.
Vinyl is actually better sound.
A lot of R&B and rap has been released on vinyl, which is really weird to me. rap and vinyl just don't.
A lot of it's because there's you get a warmer low end out of vinyl.
So yeah, it's definitely got deeper sound. There's no question about it. I've listened to the difference.
Then you get to hear those scratches though, so that's fine.
Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. You just have to.
Vinyl just reminds me of my childhood.
Yeah.
When other people were listening to cassettes, my poor ass family was still on records.
Maybe the next story reminds you of your childhood break.
It will?
Maybe. I don't know. Read.
Hint.
coming to us live from Destructoid, there's nothing about being, me in here. Oh my God, yes, says the writer here. Let me start over. Oh my God, yes! Modders are remaking Warcraft 3. Wow, yes! Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Off I go then. Yes, my lord. Job's done. Yes, my lord. I'm sorry. Off I go then.
Those are things people say in the game.
I know. I'm trying to think of what the orcs say. I can't think of anything. Nah. Zog.
Whatever.
These sound bites send my mind back to all those magical summers spent obviously playing Warcraft 3 as a teenager. I played a lot of Warcraft 2. But I never had a system that could really handle the third one.
Dungeon Buster says he won't get the vinyl record unless it also comes with Danzig song. Mother. You're pushing the envelope, Mug.
The creators of Warcraft.
Not, come on. It's not like I said, Holy Dungeon!
Oh, my God. Oh, hung up on Mug again. All right, go ahead.
There's something wrong with Skype tonight. This is ridiculous.
It is. It's fucked up.
The creators of Warcraft Armies of Azeroth, a remake of the game being built in the StarCraft 2 shared new footage of Alliance in action today. Looking good so far, says the writer here. Looking good so far, with an exclamation point.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't StarCraft 2 using Warcraft 3's engine already?
Yes.
Totally were.
So how are they remaking it then?
I didn't think – I thought StarCraft 2 was its own engine.
Speaking of that, actually, did you guys – I don't know if you guys saw that on, speaking of
mods
and stuff.
Yeah, but it's based on
like
the Warcraft 3 engine.
Yeah. Did you guys see that thing about where they turned StarCraft II into a like a third person shooter?
No.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I saw some footage of it. I was like, wow, that actually looks really good.
That would be interesting. I would. Yeah. I'd like to.
Can you be Jimmy?
I have no idea. I've never actually played a StarCraft game.
So, oh, what the hell, man! Those are really good.
Or a Warcraft game, for that matter.
Those are really good strategy games, man.
Hey, I've never been into RTS.
Break. Do we look South Korean to you at all?
That's a little bit on the racist side.
Oh, get out of here! I'm not gonna address that. I do one joke a year like that, and you guys have a
seriously racist racism.
Get out of here!
Racism.
Get out of here! Do one of those jokes a year, and you guys get all in a tizzy. What's next, Mug?
It's not that you made a racist joke; it's you made a bad racist joke.
Get out
of
here!
You made a funny racist joke. We would have maybe enjoyed
it. That shit was funny. You know it, Mug. Next story.
Anyway, get an early look at Wander and the Colossus, a dystopian adventure starring convicts and hackers. It's fairly early days for the 2D low-res sci-fi cinematic adventure platformer known as Wander, like really early, but it's already showing a lot of promise. For that reason, it seems worth keeping an eye on it. And also
Wait. This is a dystopian adventure starring convicts and hackers? Is Dungeon Buster and Wyland in it, by chance? Mm. Go ahead.
And also to gulp at its fantastic artwork. It has you playing as a convict called Rook, because that's not cliche, who awakens inside an orbital prison facility. That's also not cliche. That is crash-landed on the ruins of Earth.
That's not cliche.
That sounds physically highly implausible. The rest of humanity left the planet years ago, so Rook teams up with another survivor, and who got their pal, a hacker named Jin, because that's not cliche either, in order to escape the facility. Together, the pair have to battle through rioting prisoners. Where did all these other people come from? And the extra-dimensional beasts that haunt Earth.
Did they left the prisoners behind when they left or something?
I'm guessing. It's core gameplay merges pseudo turn-based combat, ATB, puzzle-solving, dialogue choice and decision-making, hello BioWare, and non-linear exploration into a story-driven immersive experience, writes Wander's project lead in its development log.
It
looks like a side-scrolling adventure game with some combat of elements.
Yeah, it looks cool.
The artwork is nice. It has, you know, kind of a stylized look that is appealing.
I'd like to know where's this coming out? Like, what is this? Is this a PC? PC.
Yeah, it looks like a PC game, yeah.
Ah, fuck that. Okay.
Wow.
This turned real quick. What the hell?
It sucks because every time that I get really excited about a game, it's like, oh, it's PC.
Fucking PC.
No. Really,
this doesn't even look like a game that would be difficult to run on a PC.
Ugh, fuck that. Get out of here.
I've got like a 6-year-old PC, and it would probably run this game just fine.
Wyland sent me a link to a screenshot of Mortal Kombat Jason, but it's just a black screen, dude. Different link, please. All right.
It works for me.
I'm thinking that's user error.
He's got like the human V kind of look to
Jason.
Him.
I can't see it.
He looks like Jason in the last movie, basically.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Because
he was really huge in that movie.
Excuse me.
Hotter in the last four movies.
Ah, damn it. Let me pull up a different browser, see if I can see this fucking thing, man. God damn it. Fucking Wyland.
And the whole show has to halt because Frank fails.
No, I got it. Ridiculous. Look, fuck you guys. I got it. It's right here. It's an awesome picture of Jason. So there you go. Fuckers. All right, let's move. Who's doing the next
Oni? The fuck is a yokai, goddammit?
The Japanese term for like a demon or ghost.
Real quickly, we had a little bit of audio issues, but we're picking up a story about yokai. So there you go.
This Yokai Watch Busters will now be its own title, where up to four buddies can get together and take on yokai bosses. Oh. So far, it sounds like it could possibly be the series' first Monster Hunter style title. Yeah. More details on Yokai Watch 3rd and Yokai Watch Busters will be revealed in next month's issue of Kuro Kuro Comic. And I have no screenshots, and so far not much interest in this game.
Yeah, just an announcement.
Breaks like I have no interest in this fucking game.
Well, there's nothing here. Yeah. I mean, what the hell?
Well, in the spirit of more announcements, Level 5 has also made some other announcements.
Yeah.
Level 5 reveal a major project which I don't have a name for yet, and Fantasy Life 2 and a new Professor Layton game, which isn't Professor Layton 7 apparently. But since Level 5 President Akihiro Hino previously mentioned that 2015 will be the year they'll create a hit game that's even bigger than Yo-Kai Watch. And it looks like they're even we're going to see its reveal on April 7th at their upcoming major Level 5 Vision 2015.
Don't you hate that shit when they say this game's going to be even bigger than this game.
Anyways,
according to the press release, the Level 5 Vision 2015 The Beginning. That's what the event is called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, will be a big event to announce the company's next generation major cross media project.
It's said to be a follow up
of Yo-Kai Watch in terms of popularity. It says since last year, Level 5 have been actively recruiting staff for a major project. And it says in addition to the brand new title in Yo-Kai Watch 3, Level 5 will make new announcements for Fantasy Life 2 and the 7th installment of Professor Layton series, which they announced some time ago. So
I thought they were done with the Professor Layton series.
They are, but now they're making the 7th game that looks like a casual game and not fun at all.
Yeah.
Unless that's just one aspect of it.
Yeah. Well, that's something to look forward to, I guess.
But apparently it's a mobile-only game. So
oh, shit.
Unless they change their mind by then.
That really sucks. Dungeon Bus says he's got to work the hype train, but it would be funny if a company came out and just said, we've got a new game coming, so yeah, new game, be there or not. Yeah, I agree. I don't know why companies do this. I mean, Molyneux's been...
Attract people to their conferences.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's just...
We're going to give you a tiny little carrot, and then we're going to pull it away from you.
Yeah, and then it comes out, and everybody's like so underwhelmed, you know, it's so stupid.
We're working on a game.
Yeah.
You can use the controllers.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be on your television.
You can push buttons.
There'll be buttons to push.
I wonder if they'll push these buttons. This comes to us from Silicon.
Well, I want to say, if you were interested in this event, you can go to the Tokyo Dome City Hall from 800 hours to 9:30.
Yeah, I'm sure we're all waiting on this conference for this game. Like, honestly, like I hate when companies do that. They just oversell themselves big time. Maybe this isn't oversold.
So that's what, 6 to 7:30?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe this game won't be oversold. This comes to us from Silicon Era. Freeware Japanese horror game Bevel's Painting translated into English. VG Person has translated yet another freeware Japanese horror exploration game into English. This time it's Bevel's Painting by Maninu, whatever that is.
Are there a lot of Japanese freeware horror exploration games?
I think there are, actually. Right?
I think that's what a lot of the RPG Maker VX stuff
have is. Have you played Miyumi Nikki?
The summary of the game is deliberately left short as to not spoil any of it. So you get is, quote, a girl named Bevel explores a painting of her own creation.
Jeez. And her own creation is full of nightmares that try to kill her, right?
I'm almost certain that's what it's going to be. It's like all her in her mind type thing. It's made in, like Mug said, RPG Maker VX, and a single playthrough should last about 2 hours, but it will last you longer if you want to replay to get the other endings. Oh, and it's noted that there are, quote, run-and-hide type sections near the end, just so you know.
It was like Scissor Man.
I don't like that style. Like, all of a sudden it changes up, and it just, I don't know, it just, maybe it's too scary of a scenario for me. I don't know. Slagar asks, so is the new Majora Mask worth it? I wanted to kill myself playing it the first time. I think it's worth it, dude. I mean, Slagar, I think...
The save system has been reworked so that you can save at the statues, but the game no longer saves when you go back in time to do the cycle over again. So you have to make sure you save the statues.
Yeah. All right. So that's the news, guys.
And you can use the fast forward melody to fast forward at any point in that day. So that's a good thing, because you can only skip a couple hours in the original.
Can you fast forward when your wife's nagging you?
I wish, dude. I wish.
Tell her that you said that.
Fuck you, mug. All right. Homie discounts, any this week, Eric?
No.
All right. No homie discounts. Any Twitter questions, Brett?
Wait. There is one. There is one. I forgot about it.
All right. Go ahead.
You can get Valkyria Profile on – not Profile. Chronicles. Valkyria Chronicles on Steam for $6.68, I think.
Okay.
Something around there.
There you go. All right. Any Twitter questions, Brett?
I don't have any Twitter questions, but I do actually have a discount. The Banner Saga is currently half off on Android on the Google Play, so it's $4.99 now.
There you go. That's a good homie discount. All right, Eric, what have you been playing, sir?
I've been playing Codename Steam, played a little bit of Helldivers, and I've been playing Atelier Shelley, Alchemist of the Duck Sea, but I haven't been playing that for like the last 2 days.
You said that name wrong. It's Holy Diver.
Oh, this is Helldivers.
Helldivers! See, I do that better than Mark.
Now, can we ban you now?
No, you don't.
I'm exiling myself.
I hate to break this to you, Frank, but no, you don't. You really, really don't.
I'm going
to
exile myself after saying that. Yeah. All right. Break, what have you been playing, sir?
I haven't played anything new, really. It's been Final Fantasy and Plague Inc. I've been trying to beat that on the brutal setting, and I've only beat a few levels. It's hard.
Plague Inc. is fun, man.
It is a fun game, though. I do like – I love killing the human populace.
Dungeon Buster says Valkyria Chronicles is so worth getting. So get it if you don't have it. Let's see. Mug.
Oh, yeah. I need an update on the Tri-A story we did last week. Oh. They're apparently still going to make console games.
Oh, cool.
Just don't expect many of them.
Yeah. All right. Mug, what have you been playing, sir?
I played a little bit of Counter Spy, which is kind of a neat little game. It almost has a sort of a 2.5D Metroidvania-ish sort of look to it, except the levels are they're generated from like a series of like available rooms, mm-hmm. So each one's a little different, and it's essentially like a stealth action game with
it's a roguelike, but there are predetermined levels that I'll just randomly pick.
Kind of.
So, I mean, which one do you use? Do you use the white spy or the black spy?
You don't use either. This is not spy versus spy. You're actually you're actually like playing as an agent for this group called, you know, COUNTER, you know, all the periods, but it's counter. That's not on either side. It's like this fictionalized world in which the Cold War has just like it has ramped up to extreme levels, and both sides are itching to detonate a nuke on the moon, which is going to cause all kinds of problems, and the idea is for you to keep that from happening.
Slagar, I don't know if I can confirm that, but I would venture to say that it's right. He said he saw where the 3DS is the biggest selling console, so I would not doubt it. I mean, it's
February, gaining. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But the
new 3DS.
Go ahead, Mug. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I played a little bit here and there of Dead or Alive 5 last round. Still haven't spent any money on it, but hey. But the primary thing I've been playing, I just decided to pick up again and go through on Apocalyptic difficulty, even though it's actually kind of a piece of piss, is Darksiders!
Oh, Jesus, Mug.
Anyway, just going back and messing with that again. And you know, I don't know. I enjoying it more this time than I did my first time through. Getting a better feel on the kind of quirky combat, and but it's a pretty solid little game. I mean, if you're in the mood for something like 3D Zelda-ish, because it's very much reminiscent of that.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Mug?
Nah, that was it, pretty much.
All right. Let's see. What are we doing now? Stinkos! Eric, do you have a Stinko of the week?
Not really.
Jesus, Eric. You didn't bring shit this week. Stealth. I'm Stealth. Break. Your Stinko.
Who? What is my name?
Break.
Say okay, my name, bitch.
I got one I really can't – I don't think I can really talk about it. But there, I want to say it's been flooding locally a lot, and so everybody's affected by it. I feel
bad. Oh, I have one, but let me look for it. Okay. Right.
Go ahead.
I've had to grow up with it before and had to deal with the flooding, so I understand how it is.
Yeah. That
somebody affects. I'm sorry.
Well, you almost got flooded by a water main, man. So that's
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll get to that in a moment.
Okay. Go for it.
Yeah, there is a giant hole on the side of my house over here on the road. And I tried to measure it. It's more than a foot deep, and it is more than 6 feet long or wide.
Jesus.
Yeah, this is where they fixed the water main break, and there have been a lot of reports about it. You know, like, there's a giant pothole here. It's just been growing and growing and growing, and the city has yet to do anything about it.
And yeah. Soon we'll be inhabited by a Sarlacc.
You know what?
I know. Like, there are going to be living animals in this thing soon enough.
I think those people in Ohio need to listen to this more.
Can we ban Frank now?
What? Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I didn't even do the right part of the song.
Shut up. Get out of here.
That's all my stink goes.
All right. Sorry, man. I didn't mean to burst your bubble break. All right, Mug. You're stinko.
I don't have a bubble.
All right. Go ahead, Mug.
Anyway, we have 47 treasonous. Would you stop?
Come on.
What? What's going on? Go ahead.
Anyway. Well, we have 47...
Nobody will ever accuse Frank of being spiteful.
Yeah, no. But we have 47 treasonous senators in our, you know, as our elected representatives. So those assholes who were who sent that letter off to Iran to sabotage peace negotiations kind of got a problem with that.
Well, does it surprise you, Mug?
Doesn't surprise me. Although I did see the only thing that was like, I was like, that's really good to come out of it. Well, someone made the comments like, it's a good thing that the raid on Obama was a secret so that no one could send him a letter to warn him.
Right.
Ouch.
They definitely need more of this. You know that video.
They need the holy dungeons.
the holy dungeons for sure.
I feel like I have completely characterized this this episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
If not for me, this episode would be completely bland.
Oh, get out of here, Mug. Get you out of here. You're exiled.
I am the talent. Let's not forget.
Jesus Christ, man. This is how talented Mug is. I just hung up.
That's fine, but when you get rich and famous, don't forget us.
I just hung up on Mug.
Well, too bad.
All right. No, let me get him back on the line here. So I just want to make a quick observation. That video, Holy Divers.
Having the power does not mean you have the talent.
Get out of here, son of a bitch. That video is the best. I don't care.
Power comes great responsibility, unless you're Frank.
Get out of here, Brink. Dungeon Buster says, only for dinner parties, smoozing with the party boss, or for May Day parades. Yeah. I know what you're saying, dude. All right. Let's see. Any more stinkos? Mine.
I have a stinko.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just need to look for it.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I found it off theguardian.com. It says, astrology could help take pressure off NHS doctors, claims conservative MP.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. A conservative MP has claimed that astrology could have a role to play in healthcare. David Trenedick. Trenedick. Said astrology. Yeah, that's probably right the first time. But he might as well be a dick, but whatever. But so he said that astrology, along with complementary medicine, could take pressure off NHS doctors. I don't even know what complementary medicine is, but it sounds like that like bullshit.
If it's with an E, they mean like medicine on top of using on top of astrological predictions.
Yeah. But he also acknowledged that any attempt to spend taxpayers' money on consulting the stars could cause a huge row.
Row.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyways, he criticized the BBC and TV scientist Professor Brian Cox for taking a dismissive approach to astrology because it's bullshit.
It's because he's a scientist and astrology isn't science.
Right. Astrology sucks. That's just
astrology,
like,
astrology soothsaying.
My friggin' stepdaughter believes in astrology. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's like, I did not raise you to be such a bad skeptic.
Ah, damn.
And,
And damn horse, teenagers. I'm sick of teenagers. God damn them.
I'm sick of teenagers.
You know, saw this thing. Someone posted this thing. Like, well, atheists, you know, all this stuff about how they're not afraid of death or whatever. It's like, would you be willing to take these artifacts, like the Annabelle doll and things like that? All, you know, you have haunted artifacts. Like, you send me all of that shit. As long as I've got room for it, I will be happy to hang on to it.
I'm not afraid of that shit either,
I will
man.
Decorate with it.
No, that was a good movie, by the way.
What, Annabelle?
The Conjuring?
The Conjuring.
Conjuring
no,
was okay.
It was not. The Conjuring
yes,
was awful.
Was.
No,
Conjuring
I like it.
Conjuring
was I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree. I like The Conjuring. I hated Annabelle. Hated Annabelle.
Annabelle was okay, but I like The Conjuring.
I did
I liked
not
Conjuring
see
well.
Annabelle because I hated The Conjuring
oh,
so
dude,
much.
I like The Conjuring, but Annabelle sucked.
Well, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong. All right.
Annabelle was
don't
disappointing because
– Don't argue with the talent.
Oh, watching the whole movie, I'm waiting for
luck,
one
Mug.
Point for the goddamn doll to move, and it
yeah,
never
exactly.
fucking moved.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it ended shit. With this frame looking at the doll for about, I don't know, 30 seconds or something. You're like, all right, now it's going to move. It's
yeah.
going to move. It's
nope.
going to move. Black screen.
Move.
God nope. damn it!
I saw that.
I think it's funny that this Trenedic moron also is named David, like David Cameron, the Prime Minister of the UK.
Oh, you're still talking about this. Yeah. No, I mean, it's probably
And Cameron, not too long ago, said how he wanted to regulate the internet because he thought it could help fight terrorism or cyber terrorism or something.
Anytime that we have a story about England, Gripper never shows up. But when we don't, there's Gripper. Come on, Gripper. Where are you? Anyways.
Unless you want to fight child pornography, please don't talk to me about like regulating the internet in any way.
Yeah, exactly. All right, my stinko of the week. This is a real stinko, guys. From via the Young Turks, there's this guy in Ohio. So I think it's Brakeman, actually, that's been pooping on cars, inside cars, on lawns.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, me and Eric have not heard this story. What?
Okay.
It depends entirely on which cars he's parked. And if he's doing it, the cars that have parked you know, badly, then I'm all
wait,
for it.
Is this in Columbus or in Cincinnati?
Yeah, no, it can't be in Cincinnati. I would have heard of it. There's two people in Ohio that have not heard this story. Please explain.
I don't think it's just a Young Turks video. Look it up. I couldn't find the link, but I just watched it today. It was just happened just like I think this within this past week. But apparently for 6 years that there's been somebody that's been pooping on like hoods of cars and like inside if you leave your door open he'll poop inside your car and all this. So this one I think it was a woman had a private investigator set up like a camera that took pictures every 12 minutes and finally it caught this guy like looking like a deer with you know, in the headlights, pooping, like literally like pulling down his pants and pooping. So I'm pretty sure it's Brakeman. I mean, I'm looking at the comparison now of pictures and I think it's Brakeman, to be honest. I mean, it could be Eric. I don't know, but I'd venture to say it's Brake.
I thought it was MXT.
That sounds far more plausible.
Yeah. I bet you MXT took the drive from North Carolina to, Ohio to do
well,
that.
It would. It would.
He probably thought it was my. He probably thought it was my apartment, so he pooped on it. Because I'm his mortal enemy.
Right. All right. Let's move on to Sweetos. Mine is just real quickly. It's Friday 13th. I love Friday 13th because I watch those campy, cheesy movies all the time. So that's my Sweeto. Brake. What's your Sweeto? If you have
my Sweeto actually there are a couple of them. First, I want to give it to the weather. It's been in the 50s this week, and considering a couple weeks ago it was
no
zero.
More winter.
I know. 2 weeks ago it was zero below at this.
There's
time.
There's still snow here, but I don't care.
By the way, if it's just zero, you don't have to say the below part.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Thanks for the correction.
You should be.
I appreciate
douchebag.
That.
You should.
Douchebag.
So. Mystery pooper.
Yeah, Weiland says mystery pooper.
is it Weiland or Weyland?
It doesn't.
He
matter.
Says it's Weyland, but he never corrects anyone.
I always say Weyland. I you know, it's either or.
So
sure
I asked him in chat last week.
Scooby
about
Doo Doo. That was.
I mean,
Scooby Doo Doo
is an eye. I can understand.
Holy pooper!
Oh my goodness! Oh, this show's gone to shit.
Ignore all the puns.
That's the real Holy Diver right there. All right. So there you go.
And my other sweeto goes to what?
Go ahead. What's your other sweeto?
Okay, my other sweeto goes to this weekend. Tomorrow is my dad's 70th birthday.
Oh.
And after what happened, you know, last year. Or a year, was it last year or a year before? I don't even remember.
It was
this
last
time.
Year, man.
Yeah. You know, when you get so old, you start blending together and stuff like that. And I'm not even old. I'm just in my 30s. So.
Cue the Frank jokes. Here we go.
That actually reminds me of something. Just a stinko, I think, that we can all probably agree on, the passing of Terry Pratchett, which was, you know, unpleasant.
You know who also died was the one of the creators of The Simpsons.
Oh, oh really? Shit. That sucks.
I've not heard of that.
Yeah, that's another one.
Hmm.
He made it with Matt Groening and what was that? Like, he was the non-famous one of the bunch. Hmm. It was three guys, Matt Groening, and I can't remember the other name.
Yeah. Slagar says, I think it hit 70 in Green Bay in March. The world should end right now. I agree, man. I don't think Green Bay has ever hit 70, Slagar. Dungeon Buster says, this court sends you to eat 6 years worth of your own feces. Yeah. And then Wayland says, I let it slide for break since he's, well, you know, special. And Dungeon Buster says, Terry Pratchett, sad face. Yes, that sucks.
It's spelled Wayland Luxury Yetched, but it's pronounced Throat Wobbler Mangrove.
Get out of here, man. All right. What were you saying, Eric?
I haven't read any of Terry Pratchett's books or especially his Discworld books. I like playing the Discworld game, which
I've actually had no exposure to any of his stuff. I've never read or listened to any of it or played him.
All right, Eric.
I remember there was a Discworld game on the original PlayStation, wasn't there? One of the launch lineups. Or,
yeah. Eric, your sweeto.
My sweeto is that I found a video on Facebook that Moria had posted or shared, and basically, it's like a 49-second video of a toucan fucking with a camera, basically.
it's like a traffic camera on an industrialized area, like just looking at a highway, and then you just say like, okay, what's this going to be? It's probably going to be a wreck or something. No, it's a toucan just like right up in the camera, like trying to nibble it. You know,
I don't know which particular species of toucan it is, though.
I saw a really cool video similar to that with a crow fucking with an NFL stadium camera, and it was super cool. I like that shit. I wish those birds could be trained to like fuck with the speed camera ones or the like radar and shit.
I wish birds could be trained to not shit on my car.
Yeah, right. Oh man. Dungeon Buster says I knew Pratchett by reputation and through his games. Apparently he regularly wrote 2 books a year and liked Half-Life 2. Yeah, that's sad, Dungeon Buster. It really sucks for sure.
That's straight up. I had something I wanted to mention to you, Frank.
Yeah.
I know you're down on Kickstarter as a general rule.
Yes.
Are you down on Kickstarter in for all purposes or just specifically for games?
No, I'm down on Kickstarter if it involves people just benefit. It's to me it's like a new age way of begging, you know. And then when there should be a cutoff. If there was a cutoff, like if a person's goal was $20,000 and they cut it off at $20,000, I don't think I would have half of the problem that I deal with it as it currently stands.
It's just Frank's an old fart. That's why.
No, it's not, but, man.
Reason I mention this is because I saw something.
Well, Frank, think about it this way: what if you were a young, starving artist and you needed money in order to continue making music?
Young,
look,
this isn't the 5th century.
Look, there have been those type of people from the dawn of music. Eric, so, you know, me holding out my hand and saying, hey, I need this amount of money to keep RP Grinders going, why would I do that? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Oh, now,
Patreon's a lot closer to being like the busking kind of thing.
No, I understand. Like, no question about it. There's some good to Kickstarter. I make no bones about it. I just don't like when the likes of like Schaefer and all these BioWare and all these people go to Kickstarter, and then they have these stretch goals, and the stretch goals are met, and then pretty soon, you know, there's a million.
Schaefer, especially since he apparently does not know how to manage money.
Well, right, and then yeah. And then you get to the point where you're making $1-2 million based on reputation, and once it gets past the stretch goals, there's no accountability for that money, and I think it sucks. I think it's terrible for the people that donate, and that's why I don't like it. I really don't like that.
I saw something that I was like, that's really cool. That's that's an awesome use of Kickstarter. This thing, I posted a video of it. Like Eric, you may have seen it because I know you're my friend on Facebook. But it's this thing called the Instrument One. Uh-huh. It's this all-purpose MIDI interface, it's like a musical instrument that you can play like a keyboard, or you can play it like a guitar, and it's really neat. It's you should look it up. And it's like the guy who's behind it, who's done like all this stuff in sonic engineering and music theory and all this kind of stuff, basically kind of trying to make a musical instrument that's affordable. Mm-hmm. It's like the looks of it is like this thing will cost about $500, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. not.
You know, I think
what
I think that Kickstarter is used extensively by lots of people because they don't have any formal sort of service where they can just set up a donation page to fund the research, because they know Kickstarter is popular and it's a good way mm-hmm. to get your name out there.
The problem I have with Kickstarter boils down to accountability. Right, it's that's all I'm saying. You know, if you have a goal for a game and it's $20,000, and you end up getting
the reality is often that even if you have a goal, you still might need more money.
Well, so what? Then ask for more money, and if you don't get it, it's obviously not worth doing unless you can get funding from somewhere else. You know, I mean, that how do people make independent games before Kickstarter?
And a lot of the people who give them pledges beyond the goal are just doing it to get their keys.
To get their keys, right. So they get their keys, and then this person has X amount of dollars, and there's no accountability for it. Are you sure they're going to put it in the game?
I mean, sound like a fucking honestly, broken record, dude.
No, I you guys bring it up, and you ask me, and I tell you. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, of course we all want accountability, Frank. It's just that...
No, I don't think you do, Eric. Every time this subject comes up, you guys never see my point, and that's all I'm saying. You know,
well,
I'm
the not, thing, the, you just the thing
you're
about
obsessed with this thing. That's all.
Well, yeah, I'm not
the thing
obsessed.
The thing about the accountability issue is that when you back something on Kickstarter, you know what you're getting into, and if you don't, it's like this is kind of a caveat emptor kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. I don't see it as any different than any investment that you would go to from some loan company.
I do, because if you invest in something, you expect something back. That's
it's
deeper.
Not an investment though; it's a donation.
Yes.
That's the thing.
I don't know if it's a donation. You do get something back, but it's not.
You may get something back if they say that this is what you'll get, but
right.
They don't have to do that.
Right. So
it's just an incentive that they offer.
Right. That's exactly right. I don't know, man. Just accountability is a thing. I'm not going to talk about it anymore because you guys get sick when I talk about it. But yeah,
I put a link to that Instrument One. Even if you're even remotely interested in music, you should check it out because it's really neat.
Yeah.
It's not Frank's fault that when he hears the word Kickstarter, his spider sense is tangled.
Son of a bitch.
That's not his fault.
It's not his spider sense. It's his spineless sense.
Get out of here, you son of a bitch. $75,000 and this person's already made $763,000. So, that's fine.
What about that guy who started Kickstarter to make potato salad? You remember that guy?
Yeah. Did they ever find out if he was doing it as a joke?
I think they shut that down, man. Like, honestly,
I thought he actually made the potato salad, and I thought that went through.
Look, if you can find an update, Break, let's hear it next week.
I don't want to look for it. God, that's work and shit.
Right. All right, let's move on to our free-for-all. Eric, you text me earlier... And I agree with you on this subject. It's worth talking about. I don't know how long we're going to talk about it. But it's basically a question that I still to this day don't get. Basically, what Eric proposed.
When a man loves a woman,
get out of here, son of a bitch.
And they're married. Sometimes they will hug each other in a special way.
You're exiled.
No, I thought he was talking about the Santa Claus thing.
Okay. Eric posed to me this question: why, or actually comment, why skin color labels are dumb? And he was referring to specifically. He brought up, you know, Asian people as yellow and. To me, these type of things
or my skin being white. It's not white. It's light.
Well,
it's
even
a light skin tone.
My skin's pretty close to white.
It's closer to peach than it is white.
I'm pretty pale.
But here's the thing: like, I don't get why people choose to label others as a specific color because, as Eric,
it completely erases their ethnicity.
You're right.
Well, the thing is, biological race is a myth.
Yeah. Slagar's laughing at Peach.
He's what?
He's laughing at Eric's comment of Peach. So see, there's
millions of peaches.
Right.
Peaches.
Right.
Oh, God.
Brake just indicated that he's more pale. He's more white. Eric.
And black people aren't black. Well, some of them are really dark, but that's not black.
Eric just indicated that he was more of a peach. He had more of a peach tone to his skin.
I used to. My ex-fiance was. She was, you know, Chinese. Chinese Canadian. But mm-hmm. You know, she actually. You know, I don't know if you remember the old painkiller Nuprin. Their little mm-hmm. tagline was little yellow different.
Yeah, different.
She used and my fiance or ex-fiance used to, you know, use that in reference to herself because she was, man, you know, small and Asian.
And be careful with those Canadians; they are devious.
Yes.
I've never understood this. Like, when I look at somebody, other than the obvious skin tone difference between a black person, a white person, a Mexican person, an Asian person.
I even know where yellow comes from because most Asian people are light skinned.
Well, they have a yellowish cast to their skin. I mean, that's not that I've noticed. That's not a racial stereotype or anything. That's just that people from that region tend to have a yellowish cast to their skin. That's just like people who live in, you know, mountainous terrain, you know, like. Central Europe and stuff tend to be paler.
I really don't get it.
Yeah, just like if you're in a room with me and the lights are shining, don't look directly at me. You know, don't go blind or something.
So what we're saying is that, you know, so what we're saying is that Brake is leucistic.
Right.
There's also those pogals, though.
Look,
they are tan.
I think people are people.
It's probably sunbathing.
All right, people are people, regardless.
So why should it be?
If
you and I should get along so awfully.
Right. You're just full of the musical stuff today.
Well, why can't we be friends? Why can't we be
friends? Oh. Depeche Mode has been in my band for over 30 years. So.
Nobody? God, you people suck.
Oh, I get it.
You suck. Why don't we call this episode the Terrible Improv Hour?
Yeah, exactly.
You mean the Awesome Improv Hour?
The Terrible Singing by Mud Hour.
Talent. They can call it the Talent.
Slager says on the beer color chart, I say I'm a 17 now and maybe a 27 to 28 in summer. Yeah.
Beer color.
I'm Scots-Irish on my mother's side and Polish Jew on my father's. Mm. And it's like, I've got, you know, pretty olive complexion. You know, I'm kind of swarthy.
Yeah. I never understood the labels. Like, I don't get it. If people could see past color, I think the world would be a better place.
One thing, it's interesting that it's like if you were to take one person from every single region of the world and you line them all up and, you know, according to like how, you know, like the hue of this of their skin, like if you're breaking it down to an RGB value, you know, line them all up, put their arms next to each other. It's like, okay, where does white start? Where does black start?
I told you it starts with me.
Right. It's just weird, man. Like honestly, people are like I said, mug. Jokes aside, people are people. Anybody can have sex with anybody else of any other race, and you can make a baby, right? So why is there we're in 2015 and we're still having race issues. I mean, honestly, I don't understand.
I think a lot of it
take a long time to overcome. Like, we have this, you know, how in America there was, do you know, like, this, the one drop, like the one drop doctrine? I don't know if it's actually called that, but the idea being that if you had even a single drop of black blood in you, like in America, it's like if you even have a single drop of black blood in you within the last like six generations or whatever, you're considered, you know, socially, you're considered black in terms of like that's how whites would look at you. But the interesting thing is, like, the you know, people who, like, in there are certain other countries, like in the Atlantic Islands, who, where they look at it exactly the opposite. So you have someone who, like, who is, when she's here, is black. As soon as she steps off the plane in, you know, in the Caribbean, you know, she's white. Even though
she's a damn cracker.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? You just mentioned something, Mug. To be honest, we're all African descendants.
Yeah. You know,
all of us.
You know what the funniest skit I've ever seen was? The David Chappelle black white supremacist.
Yeah. I love that.
You know which I like better?
Heads exploded.
I like the his racial draft one, actually, because it's on the same level.
There was just something funny about Dave Chappelle doing like this stereotypical, you know, like the, you know, white Southerner accent. White power, white power. Yeah,
I think Dave Chappelle is one of the most brilliant comedians of our time.
It's true. I miss him.
It's too bad he melted down, basically.
He's doing stand-up again, so we'll probably...
He does, but he's not done anything like on a national level in a long time, you know?
I don't think he wants the attention. I
don't either.
I honestly think celebrity was just like, this is too much for me to deal with. Because he was shot from being nobody to being this mega star in no time at all, and was just like...
Hey, Slinger says,
I know for a while, I don't know if he still lives there, but he lived in Dayton, Ohio. I mean, if you're trying to be nondescript, I mean, Dayton, Ohio is a good place.
Wasn't he living overseas at some point for a while?
Yeah.
No, he went over there for like a month or something.
Yeah, he totally broke down. Slinger says, hey now, as a native, basically your whole life depends on what your native blood quantum is. No, I understand that, Slagar, for sure. I get it.
Wait, what's Slagar a native of, I mean?
Native American.
Slagar's Native American. Yeah. Well, Slagar.
I think he lives on a reservation or just outside of reservation. But
can I get some of that casino money?
No, I'm just kidding.
Get out of
here.
Just kidding.
Wow.
Seriously, just kidding. I say a racist joke, and I don't get shit. And here's Breakman.
I beg for forgiveness right away.
No. Look. All of our origins point to Africa. That's what I'm saying. We're all Africans, right? Yeah. I mean.
There's that T-shirt that the Richard Dawkins Foundation sells. The out campaign, the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah.
But the T-shirt is black and has in white font. Yep. We are all Africans, except the A is the red Scarlet Letter and the Scarlet Letter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
well, I think that's going to do it this week, guys. I don't have much more to go.
Twitter.
Get out of here, son of a bitch. Twitter. Let's do our plugs.
If you were more talented.
We can end the show with the entirety of the Holy Diver song. How's that?
Jesus Christ. All right, Mug. Your plugs, please.
My Holy Diver.
Should check out Holy Diver by Dio on YouTube.
The video's fantastic. It's great.
You should also check out the Artifon Instrument 1 on Kickstarter because it looks really neat. Mm-hmm. And you can reach me on Twitter at MoriaMug, MoriaMug.
Yep.
And also known as the talent.
Get out of here. Talentless. Talentless, Mug. All right. Eric, let's go with you.
Let's see. I've got a review of an anime on BostonBastardGate.com. And it's for the Chronicles of the Going Home Club. And I've got a couple more reviews on Game Tactics and... Totally GN for you. Look at the Awakened Fate Ultimatum on Game Tactic or Game Totally GN, and let's see, Dragon Ball Xenoverse and The Order 1886 is up there on Game Tactics right now.
Speaking of anime, real quick, are you watching One Piece on Adult Swim?
No.
Okay, the last episode.
I watched a bunch of subtitle episodes online. A long while ago, and I'm like at episode 666, so that's like way behind now.
666.
Well, they're in the middle of a saga right now, and the last episode was a Christmas episode. Like they come out of left field with this fucking Christmas episode that has nothing.
Yeah, they're showing them in the way that they aired them originally. Mm. So that's great.
What's the thing is, if after 600 episodes you still haven't gotten to the fucking point, then you need to just go away.
Well, the point of One Piece though is that they're constantly on a voyage, so that's why it's that long.
Yeah, so basically it's it's Moses in the desert for 40 fucking.
At least the creator of the series knows when he's going to end the series. Slagar, he said in 2006 that he had, or not 2006. He said in 2009 that he has plans for 10 more years of that show.
Slagar says we need
Jesus. People bitched about Rumiko Takahashi.
Slagar says we need to do an anime show. I'm down for that. I can only speak to old school anime there. I don't know.
Frank doesn't watch anime anymore.
I used to watch anime a lot. I can speak about the old anime that I like and stuff. I haven't talked about that shit in a long time. Maybe we should do that.
Apparently, the anime is starting to go through the Hollywood effect. Because now they're remaking old anime. Yeah. It's like, oh boy, we're rebooting.
I know. At one point, Leonardo DiCaprio was trying to make a
Fist of the North Star.
What's that?
Fist of the North Star, probably.
No. He wanted to make an Akira.
Oh, Akira. I still
movie,
hear that.
A live action movie. Around.
All right. Anything else, Eric, that you need to plug?
There's my Twitter account at EricRPG. I'd mentioned my YouTube channel, but I haven't done anything lately.
Yeah.
I did a snack review a couple weeks ago, though. I already mentioned that, though.
Yep. All right. Break. Your turn.
Oh, me? Good. Yep. At RP Grinders, at Break _ Man, at Stealth _ Holy Diver.
I'm gonna hang up on you, man. All right. What else? Anything else?
That's it.
I just want to thank the chatters. Dungeon Buster, Shadow was in there. Slagar, Wayland was in there as well. So thank you guys so much. Where were you, Gripper? God damn it.
Slagar asked, would old anime be less interesting if they start remaking it?
I don't think it would. I like the old anime.
I'm not sure it could be less interesting.
Dungeon Buster says, I kind of prefer the old anime. So thank you guys so much. Be safe this weekend. Take care of yourselves. We want to see you back here next week. Till then.
Drink lots. Drive drunk.
Yeah, get out of here, son of a bitch. We're out. Holy Diver. Holy Diver!
Holy Dungeon!